Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, where we interview entrepreneurs living their best life. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our guest today. I have Robin Sachs with me. Robin is a confidence and performance coach, professional speaker, author, and motivator, as well as a mom and wife. With her company, 1 Minute Mindset, she helps smart people get out of their own way so they can show up with real confidence, stress less, and accomplish more regardless of the situation. By teaching clients and audiences how to shift their self-talk, body language, and mental game, they feel more calm, show up with more confidence, and feel more in control of their stressors, both internal and external. It is my pleasure to welcome Robin to our show today.
Hey, Belinda, thanks for the invite. Looking forward to sharing.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. So let's just dive right in. People like to know about the journey because really you can say, oh, I'm successful here, but it's like, what led you to this and how did you get there and what helped you to land on this career? So let's fill in some of those gaps and let's talk a little bit more about the journey itself.
Certainly. You know, it's funny because usually when we talk about successful people, we're looking at them at their chapter 10. But there was a chapter 1, a chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And you're spot on. I love that. So thank you for doing that. You know what? When I was a sophomore in college, a kid who had no idea what she wanted to do in life, I had an opportunity to jump into what had been the family business. My grandfather had recently passed away. He had run what was the family business for a number of years. That business had been pared down for semi-retirement purposes. Most of the family was out at that point. And my dad said, would you come jump in with me and let's just see what we've got? Do we run it? Do we dissolve it? Do we sell it? What is there? And having no interest in business whatsoever. I was a theater kid and a writer and wanted to do something communication-wise, but had no interest in business because to me, business was a bunch of spreadsheets and receivables and payables and drop shipping and things like that. I said yes, of course, because you say yes to opportunities to learn things.
Right.
And I jumped in and my dad and I sat down and long story short, we ended up deciding to continue to run the business. And something at that point that completely shifted everything I had ever thought about business, and it has served me well to this day and really was the foundation for the rest of the journey that I'll share with you, was this. There was one client that my grandfather had kept who was literally had been a client for years. Once a week, he'd go out, he'd get purchase orders, they'd go to lunch, right? The purchasing officer, they were buddies. He'd come home, he would call the orders in, they would get drop shipped. And every week, that was kind of it. And for years, this was a relationship that had been developed. This was a very large drugstore chain, which had shortly after this, of course, been eaten up by some of the other big drugstore chains that mm-hmm. we know today. But I'm thinking, God, we got to go out and tell this guy, you know, this our little tiny business now has lost the main person that he used to deal with, but we still want their business. And I was thinking in terms of little guy, why would this huge behemoth of a company say, yes, we'll still do business with you? And we walked in the door and Ray, the gentleman who was this person at the company, walked over, hugged my dad, hugged me, said, I am so sorry for your loss. What a great friend your father and grandfather was, and a great business partner. And if you're here to ask me if I will continue doing business with you, here's my answer. Of course, if you continue to run the business the way that he did. And in that moment, what I discovered, what there was like this epiphany. It just blew my mind. It wasn't about little guy, big guy. It wasn't about spreadsheets and who has the biggest accounting department. Business was all about relationships. And Ray said, your grandfather was here with me when all my other vendors jumped ship when we went through a bankruptcy. He was getting pennies on the dollar. He didn't leave me. Why would I leave him? And it completely shifted everything I had ever thought about business. And that experience became the foundation for integrity and character and relationships and just being straightforward and honest and direct about everything you do and how unbelievably imperative that is. No matter what you do in business, what you do in life, those are the things that will make you succeed. Those are the things that will allow you to not only help yourself, but help others. And so that was really the beginning of my journey. I ended up finishing school, running the business for 4 years, and I woke up one day and thought, wow, I kind of have what a lot of people want. I'm young. I have a business. It's going well. And it has nothing to do with what I want to do with my life. And there was this moment of, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to do this. It's been an amazing experience, but it's not me. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing the opportunity to give more of me somewhere and really to be happier. Mm-hmm. And so again, long story short, I ended up going back to school. I went through a broadcasting and journalism program because I had known, you know, with my theater and my writing and communicating and stuff, that was stuff I did well and I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to be an actor or something like that, but there was something about getting in front of people, either through my writing or being on stage and being able to say something and watch people's reaction to it, watch little light bulbs go off, watch their expressions change. You can just see what's happening inside of them without them saying a word. And there was something magical about that to me. And so I thought, let me go and do some journalism broadcasting. Let me see what that starts to look like, because it never looks like what we think it's going to look like, right? Really, you have to just jump in. And that started a second career of mine. I worked in television news for 6 years. And long story short, even though I learned a ton in that field and industry, from a values standpoint, it really began rubbing me the wrong way. I'm sure you can't imagine that with television news, but I started to really kind of become, I guess, disenamored or disenchanted with it and was thinking of shifting out of the industry. And what really kind of gave me the impetus to do that was I was on air where I was working within the industry. And so I had been, you know, you get asked to do things like MC events and programs locally and stuff. What I would do kind of to keep my sanity really is I would talk about the news and how, if you shift your perspective with the news, it changes the entire message. And I would talk about things such as, don't listen to what they're saying, listen to what they're not saying. So for example, the weather forecaster will always tell you there's a 20% chance of rain. But of course, what is he not telling you?
That there's
an 80%
chance of sunshine.
You got it, right? It's partly cloudy. He'll never say partly sunny, even though they're the same things. They need one another. The anchor at the desk will say there's a 9% unemployment rate, but he'll never say there's a 91% employment rate today. That's an A. I don't care what school system you're from. And what I would find is, as I would kind of put out there what I would call flip the switch when you're hearing things at any given moment, because there's always another side and there's a whole psychology of the negative side catching your attention more, which is why news presents it in that way. I would have a dozen people come up to me after that talk and say, I never thought about that, but that just changed things for me. That shifted how I'm looking at things. And that little tiny shift had a huge impact for people. And so I started thinking, wow, I want to get out of this more negatively bent industry by choice, no judgment, just awareness. And I really want to do that thing, but I don't know what it is. What does it look like? How do you monetize it? How do you get it to people? I didn't even have a clue. And so what I did is I began very quickly jumping into every speaking opportunity I could get. I didn't matter. I don't care if you're going to pay, but you know, if there are people, let me get in front of people and just kind of start throwing these ideas around and having conversations and really starting to see what resonates. What are people really latching onto that is something that, you know, when you talk about it, it's almost common sense, but it's not common practice. And it really separated people who feel their thoughts are very negative versus people who started to feel their thoughts were powerful and positive. And that eventually grew into what became 1 Minute Mindset, which has officially been my company for, I think, 16 years. I just saw on LinkedIn. It popped up as an anniversary. And that's what I do.
That's exciting. And that's just that's an incredible journey that's kind of led you through a lot of different areas. And those first examples that you had of, you know, really building strong relationships, loyalty, integrity, all of those things, and learning what really makes a business run and what makes your customers loyal to you is the same things that are going to help you in every other area with all of the things that you're teaching. So, you know, there's foundational pieces to business, and then there's the additional things. And I think some people don't even get the foundational pieces of the relationship. You know, it's always looking for the dollar or looking for that next big score. And even big corporations lose sight of what's important to a vendor or a customer. And loyalty is probably, if you want to create loyalty, it's about the relationship.
Oh, I completely agreed. Definitely. It's, you know, especially in 2020, you know, 40 years ago, it was different. You could sell your products and services and people would buy your products and services. In 2020, people don't buy products and services. There are simply too many options, right? I don't care what your product or service is. I can go online or to my phone, any device I walk by, and probably within a matter of minutes have 7 different options of that product or service. And I could probably have it at my door by the time I get home that day. You know, it's not about products and services anymore, in my opinion. It is about relationships. Mm-hmm. You're not my client. I'm not your coach. I'm your trusted advisor. And if that's not something you feel, right? If that's not something you feel, there's going to be a disconnect at some point because you're replaceable. And that relationship that you have, that trustworthiness, you know, really is all about believability, credibility, integrity, character. Those are things that it's not about the money. You either feel it or you don't. And those are things that more and more these days, and it's only going to get stronger, I believe, you want to find your people.
Right.
And that's really that feel. And to your point, you know, so often it's about, well, let me get the right website platform. Well, let me get the right, you know, whatever. Let me hire someone to do the resume, to do my LinkedIn profile, to make everything perfect. I have to be on every social media. No, you don't. Pick one and start showing up. Start showing up and adding value. Show up, add value. Show up, add value. And the people will find you, because that is something that we're not used to seeing a lot of these days. And that really starts to stand out.
Great. So let's talk about skill sets. So what do you think you've identified sort of as your superpower, if you will, your two greatest skill sets that have sort of helped you along this journey and helped you be successful in the business that you currently have? And 16 years is awesome. So congratulations with that. Some people last more than 3 years with a business. And then 7 years is kind of that magic number of you kind of got to figure out new ways to invent yourself and make it fresh and keep it new. So the last 16 years is an accomplishment. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, Belinda. I appreciate it.
So let's talk about those skill sets.
So two things really pop to mind. One is selflessness. I think that really, in order to succeed, especially with something where you're serving other people, you have to get passionate and excited about people who thought they couldn't do something that you help them realize they can. That's a pretty awesome moment. And just that mantra almost of, it's not about me. It's never about me. I'm not going to be the person maybe who writes the bestseller, but maybe I could be the person who helped that person who did be a better storyteller. You know, I might not be the person who has the idea that makes a massive change in the world, but I might have been the person who helped that person communicate it clearly. That's I think, a huge proponent to, you know, so many people, when they think of success, they think in terms of, I have to do something. Mm-hmm. I have to create something. And the reality is, if you take a step back and go, every one of those people who do amazing things in the world, I don't care what it is, they had people behind them who helped them believe in themselves, who helped motivate them, who helped them say, I can do this, even if I got up today and didn't think I could. And there are people that helped them show up. There are people that said, I don't know if it'll work, but try it. If you don't try it, you're never going to know.
Right.
Those are people that I think are the people that drive everything. The faces that are at the end result are phenomenal, and they have done an amazing thing. But they don't do that alone. And so I've really gotten very comfortable, and I love being in the position of someone who can be that person where when someone says, I don't think I can do this, and I do, to be able to go, you can, let's just do it. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Let's go do. And the moment they take action, they go, wow, maybe this will work. That moment is just an awesome thing. And so I think that selflessness, and really that whole idea of, you know, we rise by lifting others. Mm-hmm. I don't have to constantly be that person. I want to be the person behind that person going, come on, let's go.
Very good. That's
so
awesome.
That's a big one for me. Okay. And that took years to get there because,
sure,
of course, we all jump into success as I have to be successful. And when you realize you can be successful by helping others be successful, that was a game changer for me. The other thing that pops to mind, Belinda, is this idea of effective communication. I work with a lot of people in a lot of different communication ways. So, for example, I might be coaching people on public speaking. I might be coaching people on copywriting. I might be coaching people on they just need to communicate with their team, or they're talking to C-suite and they've never done that before. And how do you talk to different people in the ways that those people need to hear those things? How do you resonate with people? How do you move them to action? And again, this is something that developed over the years, but we communicate every moment of our lives, right? Whether it's on a device, whether it's texting, whether it's talking, whether it's on a conference call, whether it's on a webinar, whether it's on a podcast thing like this, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's one-on-one, to a huge audience, to a small audience, we're constantly communicating. And yet I've always found it ironic that communicating, when we put the term public speaking on it, all of a sudden changes people very quickly. It's like we communicate constantly, but as soon as we ask you to communicate in a certain type of way, we go into this very strange, stressful place. And a lot of people don't do well with it because of that. What I have found both for myself and for other people is that people who seem like naturals as effective communicators, they're not. They've simply learned skill sets that allow them to be good communicators. And the reality is, effective communication skills, no question, are the keys to mastering your life, your situations, your relationships, your success, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what line of work you're in. Being able to do things like listen to actually hear people instead of listening to respond. Things like learning to stop scripting everything and just have a a conversation, because nothing's a presentation. Everything's a conversation, and we have those all day long. Learning that it's not about you. If you're speaking, what do they need from you? It's about them. It's about the audience. It's about the other person. Getting off the script, managing the conversation in your head so that you're not basically a big teleprompter standing in front of other people, not making eye contact, not looking at them. You know, those are the things. If you're not listening to people, if you're not looking at people, if you're not hearing people, if you're not seeing people, the danger there is you don't have that trust we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that credibility. You don't have the character. You don't have the believability. People aren't going to be with you. They're actually going to get kind of pushed away from you instead of pulled into you a little bit more. And so to be able to engage people authentically, and that's the key, it's not about faking it, authentically and genuinely, to be able to communicate with people and hear them and see them, that is a huge superpower. And that's something that, again, when you learn to do that, people aren't used to being seen these days. They're not used to being heard. And so when you really learn how to just hear people and see people, wow, credibility goes through the roof, and your ability to help them because they trust you more. And really, again, it's back to that, I feel comfortable. It's, you're different. There's something different. And so effective communication is, if you're going to learn anything in the, you know, the soft skill realm, as we call it,
right,
learn how to effectively communicate. It's not about you. How do you have a conversation, whether you're in front of 3,000 people or two people? It's the same skill set, but it is a biggie.
That is great. Well, that is really good advice for anybody in any particular line of work or even in relationships that they have on a personal basis. So that's awesome advice for sure. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
So I heard this term recently, and I'm blanking on the book, Belinda, that I heard this term from. Maybe it'll pop back into my mind. But I heard this term, attentive optimist.
Okay.
And it hit me. I reached out and I hit pause on my audiobook because I was like, wait, attentive optimist. And as they described it, I thought, okay, I can relate to this. This is kind of me they're describing. But I realized that that was the thing that allowed me to have what I guess we would refer to as a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And my happy place is, the attentive part of this is paying attention and being aware. And the optimist part is seeing the good instead of the bad, because there's always both, right? And that concept of paying attention and making sure you're seeing what's going right, not just what's going wrong, or being able to be a problem solver instead of a problem maker, or being able simply to see something that someone did right, even though they also did something that you're going, uh-oh, we got to take care of this. And again, those are all things that make me smile outside of myself, I guess, and kind of creates my happy place. Again, when you can help someone see something in themselves that serves them, or that is a wonderful thing, and you can bring that to them, because again, we're all so used to hearing what we're not doing right, right? Or a feedback that is a little more coming from a critic than a supporter. To be able to just get outside of yourself or myself and smile because somebody else was able to do something, that brings me great joy. And that just consistently takes me to what I would call my happy place. And again, kind of the thing that I find is a theme a lot of times with some of this stuff is you got to get out of your own way. You've got to get out of your own head. It's not about you. What are the amazing things happening around you that you can serve, that you can help, that you can simply see and enjoy or have gratitude for, that they're even there? That's all cool stuff. So that to me is really where my happy place is. And I think the beauty of that is I have a lot of control over going there.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it's just a matter of shifting your perspective, or if you catch yourself, you know, with all that negative stuff in your head, to be able to stop, take a breath and go, yes, however, I'm going to now choose to look at that, which takes me to my happy place, because it's true. It's real. Mm-hmm. And you cannot miss those moments to see that.
Absolutely. All right. So what advice would you give to others who are looking to head down this entrepreneurial journey? They're like, you know what? Corporate America just is either not for me, or I've spent my time and I just don't want to do it anymore. Or I'm going to keep my corporate job and I've got this great idea for this side hustle and I want to explore it. So what advice would you give to those wanting to be entrepreneurs?
Okay, so we have how many hours?
I know. We've just got a few minutes. True? That's why I skipped a couple of our questions.
Exactly. All right, so let me share a couple of things that pop to mind.
Okay.
One thing is, we often think we need to know more than we do, no matter what it is, but especially on an entrepreneurial journey, because we're our biggest critics. We're not our biggest supporters often. Again, no judgment, just awareness. And here's something you need to know. What you know is not as important as how you deal with what you don't know. And what I mean by that is we often are focused, hyper-focused on, I need one more class. I've got to read one more book. I need to do a little more research. And we're always thinking in terms of, I'm almost there. I need to know a little bit more. And what I would invite you to do instead, and very much encourage you to do, is you know enough. You know enough. And the key is, you're going to keep learning along the way because you're never going to know it all. You are already an expert because you simply know a little bit more about it than the people that don't know about it. And those are the people you're going to be talking to or serving or showing your product or service to. What you don't know doesn't matter. Focus on what you know and start moving. The only way you're going to learn more and you're going to know more is through the experience. And that knowledge is going to come up very quickly. And you don't have to know everything. You need to know a little bit more than the people that you're serving, because you're ahead of them in the game. Help them get to where you are as you continue to grow as well. So focus on doing. Don't focus on, I need to learn a little bit more. Run okay. with it. Chances are, if it's a side hustle or it's something you want to do anyway, you're already good at it. That's right. Why you're going to take the time and effort to do it. I think that, just as a quick one, you know, one more that I would say is, you've got to learn to manage the conversation in your head. And what I mean by that is, you know, your self-talk mm-hmm. is your biggest bully.
Isn't and that that's, the that's, truth?
Boy, oh boy. We bully ourselves more than anyone or anything else in the world possibly could. And so you have got to kind of be you are the author of all of those thoughts. If you need to rewrite the script, rewrite it. So managing self-talk helps that not to beat you up and bully you. Managing your self-talk actually helps you. It becomes your biggest supporter. It becomes your best friend. It becomes your coach. In your head going, I don't know, just go do it. Mastering your self-talk is one of the biggest things you can do, because especially if you're venturing off on something that you are doing on your own, you have got to be your biggest proponent and you have got to be your biggest believer and you've got to believe you can do it. So don't listen to that voice in the head going, do I think I really can do this? The answer is yes. Now just go do it. Stop thinking, stop talking, and go do it. So get a hold of that conversation. And if you need to change the script, change it.
Yep. That's awesome advice. So in closing, Robin, maybe a couple of things that you're working on that are new and exciting. And then, of course, tell our listeners where they can find you.
No, oh, well, thank you for that. You know, boy, one thing that I'm working on here's the thing that I've learned to work on every day. I'm not working on big things as much as I'm working on little things consistently. So, for example, you know, getting back in the habit of, you know, writing that blog post every couple of days, every few days, showing up every single day on a chosen social media channel and serving people and adding value. The success is really in the consistency. Show up consistently with the little things and they become big things. If you try and start with big things, you miss all the tiny little steps that it takes to get there. It becomes overwhelming. So on my website, which is robinjsachs.com, you can find my blog, you can find articles, you can find a ton of videos. I have some online courses. I feel free to reach out on LinkedIn, if you like, as kind of my mainstay. But that's where to find me. And just work in little things consistently. That's what I found brings the greatest joy and success.
Very good. Well, Robin, it has been an absolute pleasure. You have brought forth so many great pearls of wisdom and gold nuggets, and I know our listeners are going to be inspired and motivated. So thank you so much for your time today and sharing that with our listeners.
No, Belinda, thank you again for the invitation to share.
Oh my gosh. So again, if you loved what you heard today, in which we have so many great people that are on the show that give great interviews, just like you heard today from Robin, then please subscribe to our show. Then you won't miss a single episode. I'm even learning more of the importance of this, even for myself, as I've started working out every single day on this treadmill. And so I'm listening to more podcasts than I ever have. And then I'm like, what happened to that one that I really like? Or where is that? And it's because I didn't subscribe. So I cannot encourage you enough just to subscribe. It's better for us. It's better for you. And you won't miss a single episode. So once again, thanks everyone for joining us today on Work From Your Happy Place, and special thanks to Robin for being our guest. And with that, I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your week.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.